Hello, and welcome to the UNIFE podcast, where we talk all things rail, rail supply, and the European transport sector. Today, we're going to talk about a technology that is essential to both the current operation of our extensive rail network and is underwriting its future potential. That is, of course, the European Rail Traffic Management System, or ERTMS. This system allows for trains to run seamlessly across borders, communicate with one another, share information across modalities, keep practitioners aware of train conditions, and much more. To best understand how ERTMS is currently being used and how it could be part of an even more reliable, accessible, efficient, resilient, and safer rail system, we are joined by some very special guests today. That is first Klaus Mindel, Unisig General Manager, Jose Antonio Quintano, CAF Innovation and EU Affairs Area Manager, and Vladimir Kimpik, AZD Praha European Affairs Director. The three of them have decades of shared experience and have been absolutely essential to not only promoting ERTMS in their home countries, but in Brussels as well. So, first, thank you all for joining us for this very special episode. And to start off, Klaus, can you please give us a short explanation of what ERTMS is, its deployment as it stands today, and Unisig's role in its proliferation and its further development?
Yeah, thanks, Rob, for the introduction. Well, I would like to dig a bit into its history because ERTMS definition has changed a bit over time. Initially, it was consisting of three subsystems. One from the beginning was ETCS, European Train Control System. This is the train control part. The second subsystem is still GSMR. So that's the voice and radio communication system, which is also used by ETCS for data transmission. And initially we had ETML, which is European Rail Traffic Management Layer. Well, this has somehow disappeared and lost a bit interest. Coming now back again into the game, but in between, well, it was basically then ETCS and GSMR. Well, till now then, we have added de facto ATO, which is, de facto, as I said, another building block of ERTMS. ETCS is still in, of course. And we have an evolution of the GSMR towards the future radio mobile communication system called FRMCS. And they are both together now considered as the radio backbone for voice and communication. So FRMCS is for the future, will come in now with a current CCSDSI revision. Yeah, substantial parts of the European rail network and railway vehicles have already been equipped today with GSMR to a wide extent, and ETCS as well. And interoperability of trains has become indeed a reality. In terms of implementation, we have started with a corridor approach in order to be a bit aligned, not to have scattered implementation of ERTMS. But the trend goes now towards more network-wide ERTMS rollout in some European countries. There are some good examples. Anyway, there's still a way to go until the entire European railway network and fleet is equipped with ERTMS, but we are on a good way. Unisig has been involved from the beginning in the specification of ETCS and ATO under the leadership of the European Union Agency for Railways, called ERA. Unisig is working together with the ERTMS users group on the development of the ETCS and ATO specifications. And with this setup, we ensure a balanced involvement of railways and suppliers under the coordination of ERA as the system authority. Yeah, and this has been done in the past, and this will continue also in the future, namely in the context of the European Rail Joint Undertaking. But I guess we'll come to that later. Thank you.
No, it's a lot of moving parts. Thanks for giving us that overview. It's interesting to see a system being kind of implemented not as a piecemeal opportunity, but as something that really has to have kind of the synergistic effect in order to really deliver its promises. But with that, thank you for that introduction. And I think now that we're a little bit familiar with ERTMS, I'm going to open up the floor to our guest today, Jose Vladimir. Thanks for joining us. I wanted to kind of open the conversation with a question about rolling out ERTMS across the entire network. As Klaus was saying, is not an easy task. It takes a lot of very deliberate steps, and it's not cheap either. For example, with the recent RRF, which was part of kind of our COVID response here in Europe, Italy decided to use a large chunk of its recovery and resiliency fund on this system, somewhere around 20 billion euros. In your opinion, what would be the total cost of implementation, and what could the European Commission do to support this process?
Well, ERTMS rollout has been described in many deployment management plans so far, including their cost depending on the followed strategy, and also considering resignaling activities in general. So it includes interlocking and other signaling assets. So the audience need to be aware that the figures are not purely ERTMS related. But yes, deployment of ERTMS is expensive and unfortunately unbalanced between the different stakeholders. European Commission could help creating conditions for a better business case between the infrastructure managers, railway undertakings and industry. Like, for instance, balancing track access fees for ETCS-equipped and non-ETCS-equipped vehicles. Another example is the vehicle authorization processes are very heterogeneous among European countries today. And if we look especially to the ETCS system compatibility tests in different countries, you can find that they can take just a couple of days or up to a few weeks, or can be based on lab testing or on real track. Define just a couple of ESC types or even individual ESC types per line, be applicable to interoperability constituents level or subsystem level. There is a clear need for harmonization of these ESC tests, focusing on simplification and cost reduction. And also important is that this test starts very late in the project, so any error detected that requires modification has a big impact. Thus, promoting early testing on lab would help to reduce costs significantly.
So, how has the system pillar been approaching ERTMS, and how does this technology fit into the joint undertaking's vision for the future rail network?
Yeah, indeed, there's a difference between Shift to Rail and Europe's rail joint undertaking. Shift to Rail is focusing on innovation, whereas the ERJU includes both a system pillar and an innovation pillar. So it was recognized in Shift to Rail that there is some system design, system architecture activities missing. And in parallel, we had independent system design standardization projects running, not coordinated and aligned with the activities in Shift to Rail. So at the later stage, a need for a joint platform to do system design was identified. And that was the reason why the system pillar has been made part of the ERJU. Last year we had a pilot project in the context of Shift to Rail, where we have demonstrated that such a joint project, joint means that railways and suppliers are involved, makes a lot of sense. Instead of developing independently views on system design and how the architecture of signaling system should look like, we work jointly together, which is changing perspective. Important is that the system pillar will develop a harmonized system approach and a target architecture for the signaling telecom system. So that's including ERTMS as a main building block. So we don't want to introduce a revolution regarding ERTMS, but an evolution. And this shall overall provide guidance for the innovation pillar, helping to focus on innovations which have chances for implementation and innovations which fit into the vision for a signaling system of the future. Important is that we are guided by so-called common business objectives in our design decisions. This is another aspect which is extremely important. Not technical feasibility is key, but economic viability. And this is where common business objectives come into play. Besides that, we include in our considerations that the end customers have demands, so namely passengers and logistic companies, and it's the attractiveness for on our end customers for the railway system which count, and that's important to set the objectives. So we overall as supply industry support these combined business objectives. That means it's not just about cost efficiency, but combine cost efficiency, higher performance, and quicker rollout. Only if we combine all of them, the story makes sense. Yeah, just to do the same at lower cost does not bring the performance into the railway system we need. We need to be quicker in the railway domain, certainly to introduce innovation. So all together makes sense. And all together, we ensure that we have a positive business impact for all concerned stakeholders, not just a few of them. And only then there will be a sustainable implementation if all perceive some benefits. Yeah, that's overall the plan, and the system pillar will contribute to the objectives of the master plan. That's the political framework, for example, for a more sustainable and resilient transport mobility in Europe. So we count very much on the system pillar and will contribute as a supply industry on the system pillar.
That's very interesting, Klaus, the way that these pieces all fit together and how Europe's Rail Joint Undertaking is really facilitating this. And I very much appreciate that you kind of are looking forward here to how this technology will shape our future railway system. One technology that kind of has been shaping how we think of future mobility is ETCS, the European Train Control System. And it's viewed as a key enabler for future rail enhancement. Would you all be able to kind of walk me through how exactly it serves this function and its relationship to ERTMS?
Okay. In the past, when we tried to introduce the ERTMS ETCS systems, we had a lot of problems how to do it, but I'm really optimistic that we overcome those problems. And let's imagine the situation, which is it's in the near future, that we have a ERTMS deployed and the ETCS is the only system for the train control. And if we have such a system already deployed, for us it's a kind of the enable, kind of the train ticket. Imagine that ETCS is at your train ticket to the future. And the future is over with the new systems above the ETCS. One of them is already mentioned by Klaus, automatic train operation, which is here for immediate deployment. I mean, I would say tomorrow. It automatic train operation is here tomorrow because it brings the big benefits for the saving energy, putting the train automation to the next level of operation and increasing the train capacity. increasing the line capacity by for the putting more trains on the line. And what is also very important is that the automation is no longer available for the passenger trains, but it opens this bright future also for the freight trains. And we can benefit, all of us, from those functions which were in the past available only for the passenger trains, for the freight, and we can save really a lot of energy, which is very important nowadays. When we introduce those specifications in the TSI CCS 2022, then we have a universal interoperable solution. This is very important, and this is what I would like to underline, interoperable, because you can use this automation all around Europe with the exchange of the information between the different suppliers and operators. And as a next level above the automation in the mode as I'm talking right now, is the future increasing the line capacity by introducing ETCS level 3 or in the hybrid mode between the level 2 and level 3, which will bring immediate increasing of the line capacity for another 20%. So the future is here, and we can look also to the little bit far away future, which is a fully autonomous railway operation. At first, we have to discuss where to introduce autonomous trains on the autonomous railways. We need, public discussion on that, because society is not maybe ready for fully driverless trains. I don't know if they would like to join the train where is no driver in the front. But I can imagine the situations where the train without driver can run immediately. For example, when you have an empty train set departing from depot to the first platform for loading the passengers, and also getting hooping on the train driver and do the normal train ride. I can also imagine this situation when automation and the automatic operation of the train, even with the driver on board, will be obligatory for some highly used, dense sections of the line for the increasing the capacity for the better functionality, and there will be some obligatory to use the autopilot mode. So this is our way to the autonomous railway for the future, for the saving energy, increasing the capacity, and being in the really fully digital world.
That's very interesting. Thanks, Vladimir, for that explanation, because I feel like a lot of the times the RTMS is seen as such a widespread project that you don't really get the tangible effects of what its operation will really bring to our railway systems. And those were very concrete explanations of saving opportunities, operational use cases. And that actually brings me to my next point, because for many, harmonizing the operational rules is a huge priority, as it can reduce the complexity of the system, and it interfaces by introducing standardized processes, let's say. So as our ERTMS experts for this episode, in your opinions, what would be the cost of standardizing things like ATO over ETCS and driver machine interface? How would harmonizing operations lower costs? I think, yeah.
Yeah, well, I like to start with more the technical aspects, or the technical scope. and leave it for Jose perhaps to address the harmonization of operational rules a bit more. Of course, standardization has a cost. But luckily, there are circumstances where the benefits exceed the cost and the benefits are higher. So we thought about that, and we identified basically three different reasons why standardization could make sense and could be beneficial. So one is interoperability, and Vladimir was already explaining very well that ATO provides benefits, but ATO shall be interoperable. The functionality shall be interoperable because trains move across borders. So we only earn benefits of ATO if it's interoperable. So interoperability is a motivation for standardization. Second one is migration. So we have some kind of target architecture in mind, which we would like to achieve, but not all railways will be ready to address, go directly towards a target configuration. But there must be some support in their migration capabilities, and here technical standards, interface standards, will play a role. And if they are enables for a migration towards the target architecture, then standardization makes sense. And the third reason is that there will be economic benefits from the concerned stakeholders. So technical standards help to focus on those activities where we have joint interest and avoid unnecessary investments on variants of interfaces. It's just an interface does not bring a benefit if it's just different. Yeah, so standards could help here, but it's important to note that such standardization shall lead to benefits for all concerned stakeholders. Again, which I mentioned before, if it's just one benefiting, then there is no sustainable implementation achievable. Yeah, so again, standardization has a cost, but this is not an issue because, there are examples that benefits are higher than that cost.
If I may add something about operational harmonization, I'm pretty sure Europe's Rail Joint Undertaking is aware of the importance of harmonizing operational rules, which, by the way, is one of the main tasks in the system pillar. Definition of a common harmonized operational rules to operate trains across Europe is essential to shape the future architecture of the CCS, not only to reduce the costs. But life cycle of safety critical system is a very complex and time consuming. There are many stages and steps to develop these systems. So every new requirement has an impact across this complex life cycle. And at the end of the day, it's important not to forget that the simpler those rules, the better. Standardization by aggregation of different requirements from all possible member states, sometimes even contradictory ones, is not the right approach. Looking for common ground and simple rules will be the key to reduce cost in the future projects.
Interesting. It seems that what we've been talking about so far, which is very important, is how to make ERTMS even more attractive by improving processes and our conception of its rollout to attract practitioners and authorities and so on and so forth, other stakeholders, to adopt, deploy, and utilize this technology that has so much promise. But I'd like to kind of bring it back to the personal element of why working with this technology is so fulfilling. You guys have all done it for many years. You guys are very passionate about this, but you know, as time marches on, we're going to need new signaling experts. And so engineers are very much at the center of that conversation. These people want to devise the tools that will build a hopefully better future. And often young engineers and increasingly women are engrossed with software development, personal computing devices, aeronautics, automobiles, etc. But perhaps they don't think when they're in school about going into railways and signaling. So drawing on your own personal experience, why do you think railway and signaling could be an impactful or fulfilling career path for these people?
You know, railways are usually perceived as an old-fashioned sector with obsolete technology, but this is just a stereotype. ERTMS and the future of railway signaling is about all kinds of new technologies. It's about new ways of communication. It's about how to apply artificial intelligence to predict demand or solve traffic disruptions. It's about automatic driving, as explained by Vladimir. It's about how to apply in a smart way GNSS system like Galileo for a more affordable and fail-safe train positioning system. And I could give you more examples, but the bottom line of this is that the future of railways is bright. It's a sector with a pretty stable business growing rate. Full European support and funding to railways is clear, and the reason is that railways is the greenest transport mode, fully aligned with the Green Deal objectives. I truly believe all this is really appealing, and we need to promote ERTMS for very good reasons.
I think that what Jose said, it's fully true, because I remember my starting of my career when I studied at the railway high school. The signaling technology that time was a relay based or the solid piece of the iron. But today we are with the fully electronic systems, with the most advanced systems, and we are doing the latest technology with the AI. So there is a significant change, which brings new requirements to the signaling area, and also it's very attractive for the younger people. And for the, let's say, last years, I see that, or I recognize that we are living in the renaissance of the railway. I would call it as a renaissance of the railway. And railway is no more slow and dirty, but it's a modern, fast, and sexy sector. And this sector is much more attractive for the people. And I see newcomers, at least in my country and my company, I see newcomers to the railway industry, which wasn't before imaginable. So there was not possible to have a new people without railway background, but now we have a lot of new people doing research, doing very interesting things with the satellite positioning, with the sensor decision making process, and this also it's very promising for the future. And of course, if you see the service, if you are in the train, which is a clean, really nice and fast, you want to join this area. And this is really promising.
Yeah, I think to add on that, I think we have a good chance to attract young people because the young generation is very much concerned about the protection of the environment. So this has nothing to do at first glance with technology, but why are there concerns? They're for good reasons. They will experience the consequences of the behavior of the current and the older generations. And I think that they are appreciating railway as an environmentally friendly mode of transport and the contribution of people working for railways. You might consider there's a soft factor. Actually, from my point of view, it's a hard factor. And this positive image increases the attractiveness of jobs in the railway sector. I'm counting a bit on this effect, and in order to get younger people on board in the railway community.
Yeah, I think it's definitely great to see that rail has maybe not defied its stereotype or moved beyond it, but it clearly is taking on a sophistication that it's always had as its role in the transport sphere. But it's becoming more and more apparent to young people and to new entries into the industry. I really want to dig deeper into Klaus's statement just now about the environment, because as you know, young people are very involved with climate activism, and technology is seen as a real solution to the problems that we're facing today. How does ERTMS contribute to that climate action efforts, and what about this technology is creating the decarbonization solutions that we need and has been called upon by the European Commission with the climate law and the EU Green Deal and its associated initiatives?
Yeah, a very important point, Rob. Yeah, railways play a vital role in countering the dangers of climate change. Indeed, the transport sector is the only one where emissions are still rising, and they were rising over the last years. But rail is an exception. Overall, transport emissions in Europe have increased, but rail emissions went down drastically, even though passenger numbers and freight volumes have increased. So that's an important point to be noted. Well, a bit of physical background, just to explain why I consider rail is an important mode of transport in terms of environment. Iron wheels on iron rails have a very low rolling resistance. And this is the main reason for the energy efficiency of rail transport, or one of the main reasons. So rail can already offer quick wins today because vehicles are to a large extent electrified. And additional transport capacity is already available today. Yeah, so it's about, well, using the transport capacity of the trains which are there, using tracks better as they are already available. So we could further increase capacity without new tracks. And this will be achieved with the rollout of existing and new features. It's not only about the new and future ones, but also existing ones. So what could be done? So for example, we could increase the train frequency so that trains follow closer to each other. We have automatic driving. Vladimir explained this well. There are other more performant traffic management systems available today with a more intelligent disposition of trains. And last but not least, this is one of the key objectives of the system pillar and the innovation pillar of Europe's rail joint undertaking. And this initiative will certainly play a pivotal role in this regard.
ERTMS, in this matter, it's only the tool. It's not the way how to achieve, let's say, more greener transport. But this is the only tool, because we have to provide smoother operation of the railways for the train operators, because they are bringing the solution for the end customers, either the freight, either the passenger. And if the railway is in the center with a really good product, which is a delivery door to door, then we can save really our planet, because we will do the modal shift from other modes of the transport, mainly from the cars, to the railway. And ERTMS is only one of the tool which shall provide the smooth operation. It's somewhere behind, it's not visible, but Klaus already mentioned it, and I would like to underline it, that the total railway emissions for the CO2 is only 0.5% in the overall CO2 emissions. So it means it's almost nothing, and especially in the comparison with the road transport. So we can save some more CO2, but it will be not so important. As more important is to provide the smooth operation.
it's that shift to rail. It's a great phrase that the old joint undertaking had, but it's the climate attributes that our mode of transportation has is facilitating a move to more sustainable forms of transportation and modalities. This is very important because climate change, if we've been seeing the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, even the last couple of years, unfortunately, is completely changing what we see as resiliency. A lot of the conversations that were held in Brussels and other places, administrative centers, was how does climate change really change the context of what it means to be secure? Unfortunately, while we thought the old idea of what it meant to be secure, war, conflict, was kind of behind us, it's come roaring back in the last couple of months. Obviously, I'm talking about Russia's war of aggression against Ukraine. And in the recent weeks, Russia has really ramped up its efforts there. We've seen them dramatically increasing its troop mobilization. We've seen increased strikes against civilian targets. So since the start of this crisis, the Ukraine's railway has really managed to become a star of the, mobilization effort in that country, where they've managed to get civilians out of harm's way while moving troops and material to the front lines while they've been coming under direct fire. It's clear that rail is essential for state security. Given ERTMS's role in mobility interconnectivity, how could its proliferation contribute to Europe's resiliency going forward as we re-enter this geopolitical arena?
That's very sensitive for me. I'm from Czech Republic, and as you know, the Czech Republic was a part of Czechoslovakia, and it was a part of the communist bloc, and we were under direct influence of the Soviet Union. For us, the war at the Ukraine is something which is really in the heart, and we are scared on the one side, but we have to resist, and we are resisting on the other side. And I'm so proud that the railway played a really key role at the beginning of this conflict, and also it's playing the same role right now. But what I would like to underline is to saving the refugees from the beginning of the attacks, not only on the Ukrainian side, let's say operating the railway under attack, but under the fire. But also, I'm so proud that the surrounding countries like the Poland, Slovakia, Czech Republic, Hungary, and Romania immediately organized the trains saving the refugees from the Ukraine borders. We have to be aware that the Ukraine has a different gauge than in the Central Europe. There is a wide gauge, and organizing those trains within an hours, it was really a miracle. And I don't know if the ETCS is playing the role. I don't think so at this moment. But we have to look also for the future, because in the past, especially the railways as a backbone of the transport mode, especially in the Eastern Europe, was prepared for the emergency situations. And we lived for last 30 years in the peaceful area, and maybe we didn't pay so much attention how to operate such a strategic transport mode in the emergency situations. And this is really important for us to look to the future. We are doing the digitalization. We are installing ERTMS without signals, and we have to think that the railway can be vulnerable as a military target. So some kind of management, how to operate the transport and especially railway in the crisis situations, and not only during the war. I mean, the other crisis situations can occur. It's important, and in that matter, such approach must be done at the European level, because we are now no more single railway networks, but we are building the European railway area. So it means that also those rules or those manuals shall be prepared for the entire network.
I think that's a very good overview of the importance that creating a single European rail area is. We're stronger together, and if we can respond to crises hand in hand, there's a better chance for all of us to have the desired outcomes. And ERTMS is the system that allows us to have that sort of interconnectivity and interoperability. So as we go forward, this crisis seems to be continuing, unfortunately. It's good to look at how we can create as much interoperability as possible. And earlier, Klaus gave us a quick overview of the current ERTMS deployment status. Given these recent developments, how do you predict its growth going forward, both in Europe and more broadly internationally?
Well, the forecast is really promising. If we refer to the latest version of the work plan for ERTMS prepared by the European coordinator, there are approximately 41,000 vehicles being used in Europe currently, and only 7,000 were equipped with ERTMS by 2020. The total fleet equipped with ETCS required by 2030 to operate on the core network corridor is estimated to be more than 27,000. This is more than 20,000 new vehicles to be equipped in 8 years, at least. And concerning trackside deployment, based on the national plans and information provided by the member states or collected by the European Commission, it is estimated that about half of the 10T network and two-thirds of the core network will be equipped with ERTMS by 2030. This means not only an increase, but an acceleration of the number of tenders and orders to be seen in the upcoming years only in Europe, both trackside and onboard. Outside Europe, there are many other countries investing in ERTMS. Asia is, besides Europe, the most advanced continent in terms of ERTMS deployment, but also Africa, South America, and Oceania have several projects using ERTMS, and more still to come.
Yeah, these are exciting times for railways, indeed. Opportunities are dominant, and we can expect further sustainable and steady growth. I think the railway sector has a good chance to play even a stronger role in mobility in the future. And that this is thanks to higher performance and quicker rollout, which are our objectives. We have touched the contribution of railways to the greening of transport, which I think is another reason why we can expect a positive future for railways. And another one we touched as well is the RGU as a platform to develop a joint system architecture and the system properties we need to support this development. But not least, I would like to mention that ERTMS will remain an important building block for future railways. So there is no need to wait for new solutions. ERTMS is the platform, the basis for the future evolution. So any investment in ERTMS will help to support this positive future and our expectations.
All right. Thank you guys for giving us your time today to talk about ERTMS. It's clear that this technology is foundational to not only the future of Europe's rail, but the future of Europe and how we traverse it, how we interact with one another, how we connect with one another. And so I'm extremely thankful for all the hard work you have done to really promote this technology and to conceptualize new ways to advance it in a way that's fit with our shared goals for climate neutrality, resilience, economic development post the pandemic. And I hope that in the years ahead that I get to benefit from it. So that is another episode of the Unifay podcast under wraps. We'd like to thank all of our viewers and listeners for tuning in and joining us for this conversation. If you enjoyed it, please, please, please subscribe and follow us. Put on notifications so you know when we have our next episode. And we'll see you for the next one. Have a great day.